We began this message 2 weeks ago, and the title of it is The Restoring of Lost Sheep. Turn with me, if you will, to Jeremiah chapter 50, and we'll read the first 8 verses. Part 3, The Restoring of Lost Sheep. The word that the Lord spake against Babylon and against the land of the Chaldeans by Jeremiah the prophet. Declare ye among the nations, and publish, and set up a standard. Lift up a standard, that's what he's saying. Publish and conceal not. Say, Babylon is taken. Bel is confounded. Merodach is broken in pieces. Her idols are confounded. Her images are broken in pieces. For out of the north there cometh up a nation against her, which shall make her land desolate, and none shall dwell therein. They shall remove, they shall depart, both man and beast. In those days and in that time, saith the Lord, the children of Israel shall come, they and the children of Judah together, going and weeping. They shall go and seek the Lord their God. They shall ask the way to Zion, with their faces thitherward, saying, Come, and let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten. My people hath been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. All that found them have devoured them. And their adversaries said, We offend not, because they have sinned against the Lord, the habitation of justice, even the Lord, the hope of their fathers. Remove out of the midst of Babylon, and go forth out of the land of the Chaldeans, and be as he-goats before the flocks. Again, let me remind you that this primarily, the primary context here is the restoring of scattered Israel. The nation is no longer to be divided into the two kingdoms. Both Israel and Judah will together say, Come and let us go into the house of the Lord. Let us ask the way to Zion, that we may return to Zion, that ecclesiastical relationship that we previously enjoyed before our sins led us to wandering. Let us then go and join ourselves in perpetual or unending covenant that shall not be broken. And then God says in evaluation of these people, both of restored Israel and Judah, My people hath been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. What a beautiful, marvelous picture of restoration that is. God the Father, and He's in His eternal appointments, God the Son in His mediatorial work, and God the Holy Spirit in His inward teachings, have drawn a fixed never-changing line of distinction between the whitewashed professor and the living soul that God has declared to be my people. However, the hypocrites in Zion may become mixed up with the people of God. However, they may profess to believe the same doctrines, yet there is a boundary never to be crossed, established between them by the hand of the triune Jehovah, a boundary line which all the art and wisdom of men can never break down. The child of God has been the recipient of that filial fear, fear of one being to another, creature to creature. In his heart, he has been. Man, by sin, has fallen, and he loves the world. And he may tell you that he loves God, but his actions quite often verify that he loves the world. Depravity is an awesome consequence that is abiding throughout the age of mortality for all men, including God's people. That he says they're just like lost sheep. It therefore behooves all those whom God has been pleased to place upon the wall of Zion, place them there as watchmen in order to call the hours of light and darkness and to proclaim when the morning comes and also the night, in described in Isaiah 21, verses 11 and 12. And these watchmen also are to cry aloud and spare not between the honest man and the thief. The faithful shepherds, therefore, are called upon to judge between cattle and cattle, as described in Ezekiel 34, between the rams and the he-goats. None is able to determine, distinguish, discern between man and his actual standing before God and his proclaimed standing before God. Only God can know the evil of the heart. There has never been a period of time when the prophets of the Lord were more urgently required to take forth the precious from the vile and be manifested as my mouth, God says of them in Jeremiah 15, verse 19. In the text that we read, in the two verses immediately preceding that text, verses 4 and 5, and in the text itself, when these three verses are taken in connection with them, we have a description that the Holy Spirit has set forth as he speaks through the servant Jeremiah of the way in which the Lord leads his people. We find described by the unerring pen of divine inspiration, we find the place where God finds those lost sheep. And secondly, we find the cause which has driven them to that place. And thirdly, we find the way by which they are delivered from that place. And finally, we see the very spot to which they are eventually brought or gathered together, God's Zion. And therefore, in speaking from these words, I shall not confine myself to the words of the text alone, but shall, the Lord directing me, take with them the two verses which immediately precede. And may the blessed Holy Spirit condescend to favor us with unction, without which all that which I speak will be nothing at all. As there is nothing like a right beginning, I must point out a clear, distinct path for us by stating as plainly and as decisively as I can who the persons are whom these things are spoken. They are called in the text by the outbreathing of God Himself, my people. They are that peculiar people whom God the Father hath eternally chosen in Christ before all worlds were created. That chosen operation whom God the Son, taking their nature into union with Himself, redeemed by His own most precious blood, and that holy nation whom God the Holy Spirit condescends to teach and lead and guide and bring them safe back to Zion, to God's glory. The elect portion of the human race God calls in the text, my people. As though He would say of them and to them, they are mine because I chose them. They are mine because I purchased them. They are mine because I have adopted them. They are eternally mine, irreversibly mine. They are mine in spite of sin and death and hell. They are mine in spite of the flesh and the world and the devil. Our first view then of God's people quickly is, where did God find them that He chose to be His sheep from that state in which they were? Lost sheep may be lame and sick or diseased, and that lost literal sheep may stray very far from the fold, but it is a sheep still and will ever be a sheep while it continues to exist. And thus the elect being sheep, eternally in the mind of God, and as such possessing an eternal union with the Son of God, could not cease to be sheep because they simply fell in Adam. But viewed as the place where God the Spirit finds them, they are said in the Scriptures to be lost sheep, ruined, undone, without hope, without help, without strength, without wisdom, without righteousness, lost so as to have no power to find the way to glory, lost as to any expectation of finding that in the creature which God can look upon with acceptance, lost as to any hope of ever reaching the heavenly shore, except by the immediate guidance of the Holy Spirit. If God, the Holy Spirit, does not intervene, they are irretrievably, eternally, and forever lost. They are lost as to any possibility of doing the least thing towards propitiating the favor of God or of gaining an interest in His love. When God the Holy Spirit takes a soul in hand, just as surely as the fingers of a man's hand wrote a sentence of condemnation upon the wall of the king of Babylon recorded in Daniel chapter 5 and verse 5, so does the blessed Spirit write the word lost upon the conscience of every one of these vessels of mercy. One must be made to know that he is lost before he will have any desire to be saved. And when he has written, when the Holy Spirit has written this word lost with power on that conscience of that elect of God, they carry that inscription, that designation about with them, branded, as it were, in letters of fire in such a manner that the impression is never to be erased until it is blotted out by the atoning blood of the God-sent Redeemer. And thus is the teaching of the Holy Spirit upon the conscience of God's family. For Christ is their kinsman. He is their goal. He writes lost on their heart. Lost is the deep feeling of their soul when the Holy Spirit writes that inscription on their hearts. Lost is the cry on their lips. And none were ever found who had not the feeling of being lost. Then it is the time when the Holy Spirit usually gives that soul some discovery of God's mercy in the face of Jesus Christ. We find this sweetly set forth in the remarkable chapter of Ezekiel 16. The vessel of mercy is there in Ezekiel 16 delineated under the figure of a newborn babe. And God describes that newborn babe thusly. That newborn babe is abandoned by its mother and cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born, as one being unpitied and abandoned, as polluted, as helpless, as perishing, as wretched as any outcast could ever be. But it is not left to perish. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee, as did in type Boaz, as symbolic of his espousal to Ruth, recorded in Ruth chapter 3 and verse 9. And covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. I purchased thee. I redeemed thee. These lost sheep then had to be, to a certain extent, have been found and had been to some rest given to them in Christ. That the Holy Spirit had brought them to find Jesus to be their rest, their resting place from which they had forgotten, so that their lost, distressed, and troubled souls had found a measure of rest in Christ, rest in His blood, rest in His righteousness, rest in the everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure, as described in 2 Samuel 23:5. Being lost, therefore, is a prelude to being found for God's people. Then the Lord in the text states the instrumental cause of the backslidings and wanderings of His people. Jehovah God charges it home upon the false shepherds. That's why they're lost, the false shepherds. The false shepherds have deceived and are deceiving them because they're the guides that are responsible, who through ignorance or maliciousness lead them astray. God says, My people hath been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to stray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. They've tried one system of religion after another, and nothing works. And one mountain leads to another mountain, and finally to the very hills, the low of the mountains. And nothing that man can do can change his relationship with God. But all the time, the false shepherds have been telling them, try this, and if that doesn't work, we'll try this. And if that doesn't work, we'll try. Surely we'll find something that will please God. No, the false shepherds will never find anything that will please God except that which God has prescribed for them. The slothful, self-seeking pastors, under-shepherds of God's flock, as in Ezekiel 34, verses 4 through 10, they are described in what they do, and we'll not review that a second time. We've already done that. But if the Lord's people are led astray by these false shepherds after they have obtained some knowledge of Christ, we may be very sure that their treacherous guides came in the garb of truth. They came telling God's people, we're telling you the truth, but they never told them the truth. The doctrine of grace where God were on their lips of these false shepherds, but deceit and hypocrisy was in their heart. And thus, under the mask of truth, they insinuated themselves into the affections, biased the judgment of the people, and beguiled the people of God and led them astray. And pretty soon, those that they are beguiling follow their path and do exactly what they are being led to do. There are those also that have difficulties with simply not having heard or been subjected to the truth. But there's not the end of the story there. We come to the way in which the Lord delivers His sheep that have been thus led astray by the false shepherds. We're to that point now where God sends to redeem His lost sheep. How does He do that? How does He do that? What is the manner in which Jehovah God fulfills the promise that He spake through the prophet Ezekiel in chapter 34, verses 1 through 12? And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, Ezekiel, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, who? The shepherds of Israel, those false shepherds. Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe ye with wool. You kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flocks. The diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you brought that which was lost, but with force and cruelty have you ruled them. And they were scattered, because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to the beast of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through the mountains and upon every hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth. And none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not the flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds. I will require my flock at their hand and cause them to cease from feeding the flocks. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. He's promising here that Israel is to be restored. I will deliver them from these false shepherds. For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I, even I, which both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd searcheth out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. Then, after the good shepherd has come to restore his sheep, the children of Israel shall come. They and the children of Judah together, they shall come and be going and weeping. They shall go and seek the Lord their God. They shall ask the way to Zion with their face thitherward, saying, Come, and let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten. Verses 4 and 5 of Jeremiah 50 that preceded our text. The Lord had a wise and gracious purpose in thus allowing His sheep to wander. He had an end to accomplish thereby. He intended to teach them, and He intended to teach them the emptiness of all mere professions that they or false shepherds may make. He's to teach them the uselessness, the emptiness of all mere professions, the nothingness of the creature, and the depravity of their own fallen nature that they inherited in Adam. By thus allowing them to wander, baffled, troubled, and perplexed, the Lord had brought to pass His own secret purpose for them, which was to sicken them of men, to wean them from the creature, to break down the pride of their hearts, to show them the emptiness of all their own wisdom and strength, and to turn away their eyes from beholding all vanity. God has a purpose in bringing His people away from everything except the purity of His Word. All of the falsenesses, and that's in the many plurality, of everything the world has to offer, God has to wean us from that. Take it from us and make us see the emptiness of it. God, therefore, brings then powerful conviction into their conscience and lays judgment to the line in their hearts. As is said in Isaiah 28, 17 and 18. Please turn there. Read this with me. Isaiah 28, 17 and 18. Through the prophet, God says to His sheep, Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail, H-A-I-L, shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it, as in Amos 7, 7, 8, and 9. Thus He showed me, Amos wrote, and behold, the Lord stood upon the wall made by plumb line, plummet, plumb line, that by which God raises a perfect standard of righteousness with no variation, no tilting left nor right, fore or aft. Perfect righteousness. Thus He showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel, the true shepherd. I will not again pass by them anymore. I will not overlook. I will set this matter straight. And the high places shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. And I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. God said, I'm going to set it all right. And Jesus Christ is the plummet, the plumb line, the righteousness of God made known to us. The Lord does this by some affliction or some cutting stroke in the bodies of His people or on their families, or by bringing them under a heart-searching ministry, by shooting a secret arrow into their conscience, pricking their hearts out of His own word of truth, or by recalling to their minds their feelings of times past and how they had declined from the ways in which God had taught them. They had lost the way, forgotten the path. This produces, therefore, in them what God is doing here with the plummet, with the righteousness of God in the person of Jesus Christ, and making each of His children see how far short they came of attaining to that righteousness, but offering it to them as an imputed righteousness in their stead. It produces in them the feeling that is described by the prophet Hosea in chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. Specifically, this passage of Scripture is of the chastisement of adulterous Israel. And God says of adulterous Israel that He had set aside and scattered. In verse 4 of Hosea 2, and I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms. For their mother hath played the harlot. She hath conceived them shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink. Therefore, God says, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her paths. And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say. Why don't you underline that in your Bible? Then shall she say, when I have chastised her to the degree that I've purposed, there's going to be a restoring of my seed from among the many of the scattered. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then was it better with me than now. Folks, there is a movement in the soul when God works. There is a going forth of the heart, and there is a returning of the backslidden child. In those days and in that time, saith the Lord, the children of Israel shall come. They and the children of Judah together, going and weeping, they shall go and seek the Lord their God. Verse 4 of Jeremiah 50. After I have worked my work of chastisement upon them, my children will be drawn out from among them, and they will return to Zion, the place they have forgotten. In Jeremiah 31, verses 9 and 10, also in connection with Jeremiah 50 and verse 4 and 5. Look at this, Jeremiah 31, 9 and 10. When they come, those are my words. The Scripture says, they shall come. Who? Those people he's been talking about in chapter 50, verses 4 and 5. They shall come with weeping and with supplications, and I will lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, He that scattereth Israel shall gather them and keep him as a shepherd gathereth his flock. And just as the repenting prodigal said, as recorded for us in Jesus' parable of Luke chapter 15, verses 18 and 19, the prodigal said, I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy servants. When did the prodigal arise and say, I will go to my father? When the chastening hand of the Lord had brought him an end to everything that the world he thought had to offer him. You might find this same prophecy of the prodigal that's recorded in Luke prophesied in Isaiah chapter 40. Please turn there. We'll read that, and then we'll close for the morning. In Isaiah 40, verses 9, 10, and 11, O Zion, who is he talking to? My sheep. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, Behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Listen now to verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather his lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. In John 10, we read of the good shepherd that Isaiah prophesied of here in chapter 40. In Hebrews, we read of this same good shepherd who is classified as the great shepherd. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, we read of the good shepherd, the great shepherd, as also being the chief shepherd. When the judgment of God has fallen, the chastisement has fallen, God says, when the false shepherds have been set aside, I will appear, and I that scattered thee will also gather thee. And you'll come just as surely as my words can speak unto you of your coming. How does God do this? by the work of His power in the work person of the Triune God. God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Good Shepherd, the Great Shepherd, and the Chief Shepherd shall gather His lambs from among Israel and from among Judah, and they shall return to Zion, and that place from which they departed, from which they will never depart evermore. May God's blessings help us to realize that this is in God's hands. The Lord willing, this afternoon we'll conclude this wonderful message. May God bless it to your understanding in spite of the feeble efforts of this servant. May God help you to agree that all we're waiting for is the Word of God. Rise up, my love, my fair one. Come away. Please stand.